I'd done my best to calm her, to try and make her see reason, that I was messed up and it was only a matter of time before I really hurt her. But I hadn't touched that girl. She'd fled the building without a backward glance. She either didn't believe me, didn't care, or both. I stared up at the ceiling as the minutes ticked past. My mother's death left a cool, empty place inside of me, and McKenna running away only intensified that. I hated this sick need that followed me into the night, the desperate wanting that tightened my balls against my stomach. I knew only one way to make it go away. I needed to forget, to bury myself deep in distraction and pleasure. I forced my eyes closed and tried to breathe through the craving. Sweat broke out over my skin, and my heart sped. Shit. I hated this side of myself. Trying to quiet my swirling mind, I thought of McKenna, of her quiet confidence and wholesome beauty. Bad idea. My dick started to rise to attention, liking the new direction of my thoughts. I considered grabbing the bottle of Jack that sat untouched in my nightstand drawer and downing a healthy measure to force my brain into oblivion. Switching tactics, I focused instead on my brothers. I would do anything to protect them from the man I'd become. I had to fight these feelings inside myself. The fact that I was even questioning all this, trying to calm my raging nerves without sex or alcohol, meant one thing. McKenna had gotten under my skin. And hell if a part of me didn't like it. She was a fascination, someone I wanted to understand. And I felt that way around very few people. I had the boys, and I rarely made time for others. Even friends I'd once been close with no longer counted on my list of priorities. Besides, most were busy being 22 years old, while I was busy playing dad and sinking deeper and deeper into a hole. Pulling in a deep breath, I began to relax. I pictured Tucker's uneven grin when he'd sunk that basket straight through the net earlier. I thought about my mother's upcoming birthday and made a mental note to buy flowers and take the boys to her grave. I thought about all the little things I needed to get done this week. Luke's upcoming college placement tests that we needed to register and pay for, Tucker's family tree that we needed to create for his history lesson, and Jackson. I had no clue what was going on with my 18-year-old brother. Only that he seemed to be becoming more and more like me, which made my stomach cramp with fear. I wouldn't wish this life on anyone. Rolling over and shoving my pillow into place, I released a heavy sigh and closed my eyes, praying for sleep to take me. Chapter 2. McKenna. I hadn't planned to go on this retreat with Belinda, but given the current state of my life, running away for the weekend sounded like the exact thing I needed. The retreat was for addiction counselors in the Chicago area. There would be panels and lectures over the course of 2 days. We'd learn about advanced treatment techniques and also take much-needed time to rejuvenate with yoga classes and meditation. It sounded a little silly to me, and I hadn't wanted to go. I'd planned on staying home and throwing myself into my punishing routine of working and volunteering, but Belinda was my mentor and, well, basically I hated letting people down. So here I was, in the passenger seat of her minivan, watching the miles tick past while unease churned inside of me. I regretted the way I'd broken down, sobbing and fled from the group I was supposed to be leading last Saturday. I regretted how close I'd grown to Knox in such a short time and that he'd been able to break me so easily. Ever since Knox Bauer had first walked into my sex addicts meeting, my life had been in one giant freefall. Despite his baggage, falling for him had been the easy part. Some of my best moments were the quiet ones shared alone with him. The times he'd made himself vulnerable and opened up to me had felt like something real and important. And hanging out with him and his 3 younger brothers was a nice distraction from the guilt and pain of my everyday life. But I'd been forced to see the harsh reality of the situation.